which is obviously modern Turkey. We've discussed that. And this is now part 7. It's part 7 in our series. And we're going to finish off next week. So next week will be part 8. It will be the end of Galatians. And some of you will be going, thank you. All right? Especially after you hear what Paul has to say today. You're not going to want to hear that again. All right? I wanted to say to you up front, remember, I'm just the messenger. Don't get bent out of shape, you know, because of what I'm going to be sharing here this morning. So I'm just the messenger. Thank the Lord for that. But I know some of you will be saying after today's message, whew, good, all right, let's do something else. All right, so next week is part 8 in the series, and that should be the last. Today's message is all about freedom. It's about freedom. And the title of today's message is Living Free. We need to be a people that live free. We need to live in the freedom that Jesus has purchased us. It's for freedom. Part of why He came down here to planet Earth, all right? And there's something inherent in each one of us that desires freedom. We all desire freedom. We all want to be free. I don't think there's anybody here today that really wants to live in bondage. Is that true? Because really the opposite of freedom is that we live in bondage. So the truth is that we can choose freedom. It's a choice we make. We choose freedom or we choose bondage. And I want to say this too, that if we are not choosing freedom, we've already made a decision to choose bondage. So we need to be mindful of this thing. So if you haven't chosen freedom, you haven't chosen Jesus, you haven't chosen the grace that He has poured out upon you, really, bottom line is, you have chosen bondage. So freedom, it's an interesting word. I was just pondering it. You know, freedom. Freedom. Freedom is not free. Freedom is not free. Freedom, your freedom is not free. Freedom costs something. And in the case of us as believers in Jesus, Jesus paid the price for your freedom and for my freedom. And this was because of His sacrifice, what He did on the cross at Calvary that day. We have freedom from the bondage of sin. And we also have freedom, and this is what Paul is saying to these Galatians, we have freedom from legalism, from rules and regulations. And a problem, one of the big problems in the church today is all the rules and regulations that man has come up with and misinterpreted the word, and where people are laying kind of yokes upon other people, where we're not living in this freedom. But the bottom line is that we still have to choose. We choose how we respond to freedom that He purchased for us. So we can either accept it or reject it. That's the choice. All right, so today we're going to be having a look at chapter 5 of Galatians. But just to briefly recap, okay, remember Paul went into Galatia, modern-day Turkey, and he was planting churches. And as he moved on, these false teachers were actually coming in. They would come in and they would start to contradict the word that Paul had actually given them. They come in, right? They would say things, well, yes, you know, you can receive Jesus and receive that grace and all that stuff. But there was more. You had to do this and you had to do that and you had to be circumcised. And they went on and on and on. In other words, it was the truth of the gospel of grace plus something. Plus something. Especially the thing on circumcision, which we will speak a little bit about today. But when Paul was there, the Galatians actually trusted him, and they trusted him, and they received salvation by faith, and by faith alone, just through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So basically what was happening was these false teachers were leading them back into bondage, back into those rules, regulations, legalism, and all of this stuff. And this is why Paul actually was on their case. You know, he wanted them to walk in the freedom that Jesus had purchased for them. Remember that we are saved by grace. It's by His grace. And it is by grace plus nothing. So Say it again. By grace, His grace plus nothing. And that is how we receive salvation. It's through exercising our faith and His grace. And we know what it means. That grace means undeserved favor. Just because He wants to. Just because He loves us. So Paul tells us that there are two ways of responding to this freedom that we have been given in Christ. And I want to first speak about these two ways. The first way is this, that we reject it, and if we're rejecting it, we are doing something. We are actually embracing legalism if we reject the freedom. He says in chapter 5, we're looking at chapter 5, verse 2. He says, look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, in other words, if you want to accept these rules, these regulations, and you want to put yourself back under the law, he says, if you do that, Christ will be of no advantage to you. Right? You know, Jesus has come to set us free, and if you don't want to accept this freedom and you want to put yourself under those rules and regulations, Jesus is no use to you, he says. Verse 3, he says, I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. So if you want to now, it's God's grace plus circumcision or whatever these false teachers were trying to teach them, and you embrace it, right? You're putting yourself back under the law, and then make sure that you keep the whole law. Make sure that you keep the whole law. Don't mix the law and grace. That's what he's saying to them. And I spoke about that last week. That was last week's message pretty much. People mixing the law and grace. Well, it's by the grace of God plus something. That's not God's grace. The next verse he says, you are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. So if you take God's grace plus something, he's saying that you are cut away. You're severed from that grace. You can't rely on that grace. You have chosen to put yourself under the law. So follow the law. If we are out there and we are following the law and it's God's grace plus something, we are rejecting our freedom, that freedom that Jesus purchased for us. And what we are actually doing is walking straight back into slavery. The very thing that Jesus came to set us free from, being slaves. Right. So we must not be, how can I say, with these rules and regulations where these things come in and actually take the place of the freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't be a rule follower. We must be a Christ follower. Exactly, John. Exactly. So people, you know, people that are under the law, and I'm talking to Christians, and I trust that none of us are like that. Okay? And if you are like this, what I'm going to say right now, adjustments need to be made. But this is very often how Christians are. People that are under the law, just because maybe it's their upbringing, their background, whatever it might be, they kind of think, well, you know, if I read my Bible today, I really believe God's going to do this for me. I believe God will do this for me. If I just pray more, just spend more time with Him, God will do that. Folks, it's so easy to get hooked into this. If I serve God just a little bit more, you know what? I can expect that from Him. And if I don't do these things, then, well, you know, God is going to kind of reject me and I'm not going to be able to enjoy the favor of, you know, His favor being poured out upon me. Folks, I want to say that God is not a person that we are in some business relationship with. This is not who He is. God wants you and I to be in a personal relationship with Him. That is why you and I have been created, is to have fellowship with Him. So our attitude should not be, look over here, God. God, I'm reading my Bible. Look over here, God. Look how I'm serving in the church. Oh, God, look. I'm returning the tithe. Look, here I am. It should not be like that at all, folks. Our attitude should be, Lord, I love you. And as because I love you, I want to get to know you better. And I want to get into your word, and I want to understand your word, and I want to read your word. And I know that you love your people, and because you love your people, you want me to love your people. So I'm going to love your people. I'm going to do anything that I can do to serve you because of my love for you. There's a huge difference there, where it is something that we desire to do as opposed to something we feel we had better do, otherwise we, you know, kind of in trouble. So everything that we do really should be for Him, and it should be a byproduct of our love for Him. Whatever we do, just a byproduct of our love. And if it's not, I'm telling you folks, we are rejecting freedom and we are becoming enslaved again. We have to be very, very careful. This thing is so subtle, this being enslaved and kind of being under the law and with rules and regulations. But of course, the flip side, there's always abuse to this, which I'll speak about now as well. So blessings do not come as a result of following rules. Let me say it again. Blessings, God's blessings on you, God's favor on you, is not as a result of following rules and so on. They come as a result of having a relationship with Him. That's how the blessings actually come. And it's interesting, you know, even in the Old Testament, we often, you know, it often talks about blessings and it talks about obedience. But folks, all of these things, when you read it, it really links to relationship. I want to read to us Deuteronomy 11:26, just a few verses here. It says, "See, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today." So we can see there's kind of conditions here. "And the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way that I'm commanding you today to go after other gods that you have not known." So these people were going after other gods that they had not known. And the reason why is because they didn't have a relationship with the true God. It's about relationship, even in the Old Testament. So, you know, we can actually go after things in our own lives that are not pleasing to God. And when we do that, it is normally as a result of our relationship with Him not being in a good place. Bottom line is. And right there, I'm going to say, how's the air conditioner? Can we get it cooler? Was it all right? Fine. That's good. All right. Okay, so being in a relationship with the Lord is where the blessings are found. Should I say that again? Being in a relationship, not under the law and rules and regulations, being in a relationship with the Lord are where the blessings are found. And I was actually sharing, I think it was our Thursday group. It was just on Thursday morning, I was preparing, you know, some of this, and I felt the Lord say to me, go and look in the dictionary what the word blessing means. I mean, we all know what it means. But I went to look anyway. And it actually is quite interesting because it is divine help. In other words, it's help from God. It's help from no one else. Divine help, divine assistance, divine aid. That is what God wants to do. It's God that wants to bless you. Okay? And He wants to, there will be intervention from Him to make sure. And I want to give us a few scriptures on this to show that it's about relationship. Psalm 40 verse 4, it says, blessed, right? You want to be blessed? Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. When we put our trust in the Lord. Isn't that relationship? Is that relationship? Old Testament we look in, it's still relationship. Another Old Testament from Psalms 128:4. Behold, thus shall a man be blessed who fears the Lord. Again, it's relationship. And that fear is not you being scared of God. Where you intimidate, oh God, you know, I'm so scared. He's going to, you know, some of us grow thinking that God is going to, wants to hit us over the head with a baseball bat. We brought up like that. And this is part of the problem. That fear of the Lord, you go and look it up. It is having a reverential fear of God where God is just so awesome. That's what it is. We see also, and again, that's relationship, where the blessings come. In Proverbs 16:20, blessed is he who trusts in the Lord. If you trust in the Lord, isn't that relationship as well? So we can see, folks, that the favor of God, the blessings of God come upon us through relationship. Us just being his kids, right, and enjoying being one of his children. Legalism, okay, will put you back in bondage. That's as simple as that. So that's the first thing. The second way that we can respond to freedom that Jesus purchased for us. So the first way that we respond to the freedom that Jesus bought for us, we reject it. The second way that we respond to it is that we receive it by faith. Straightforward, we just receive it. All that he has for us, by faith. We see in Galatians 5:5, it says, by faith we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. So it is not always, am I right in saying this? It's not always easy to just sit and wait and rely on the Lord. And, you know, sometimes we kind of want to make things happen. Or is it just me? Sometimes it's like the Lord is just too slow. And I know we've spoken about that. Lord, you're just too slow. I think also last week we spoke about when the Lord's always too slow. He's not moving fast enough for us. Right? So it's not easy to just wait on him and kind of work these things out. Now listen to what Paul wrote to the Romans about this freedom that we're speaking about today. So what he says to them, he says in, I'm reading from verse Romans 7:24, and then I'll jump two verses, and then Romans 8 from verse 1. It says, who will deliver me from this body of death? He's asking a question. In a bad place. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Okay. But thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then he goes to verse 1 in chapter 8. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Man, if you are a believer, you better hang on to that. Right? There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, so often we'll, you know, say, oh, I'm feeling so condemned. Let me tell you, if you're feeling condemnation and if you're feeling like serious shame and guilt and all of those things, that is not from the Lord, right? That's not from the Lord. If you feel that stuff, you need to know that you've got an enemy out there who comes to kill and to steal and to destroy, and he makes you feel like that. The word says, for there is now no condemnation. If there's no condemnation, that means that there's no condemnation. And when we are feeling like that, we need to go to these scriptures and meditate on them and allow the word to set us free. There's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. So we can see that there's a law of sin and death. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh, could not do. God, what the law couldn't do, God has done, he says, by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Why? The next verse tells us, verse 4, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Now listen to this. Who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So as believers in Jesus, as believers even, we can still walk according to the flesh. Right? You can receive salvation and you're still not walking and being led by the Spirit, but you are walking according to the flesh. So folks, we must live according to the Spirit and not according to our sinful nature. Is that true? I'm getting to the parts now where some of us will say, thank goodness this is the end of Paul's letter to the Galatians. All right? Because he starts to shoot from the hip here. But this thing, walking in the Spirit, or walking, in the Spirit, and not according to the sinful nature, it's not as easy as it sounds. I don't know how many of you have noticed. Oh, okay, is it just me? All right, this message, I think I'll just preach to myself. Folks, we have a body, right? And we have a sinful nature. That's what the word says. You better believe it. And if you don't have one, don't have a body, well, I was going to say, come here and let me pray for you, but you can't come here because you haven't got a body. All right. So, it's not as easy as it sounds. Because while we are in this body that we are in right now, there's always a tugging that takes place. You know, it's the spirit that's been led by the spirit and also the flesh being drawn by the flesh. There's a dilemma. There's a decision that has to be made. And the dilemma is, you know, do we live by faith or do we live by works? Okay, we've got a decision to make. Works may, you know, if it's by works, there may be some successes in this whole thing as well. From a kind of external standpoint, when you look out upon it. But let me tell you something. You will soon have burnout and you will be back in bondage if we do it in the flesh and we do it in our own selves. Faith, on the other hand, you'll see continued success. And folks, it's a journey. But there's continued success as we continue in it. Why? Because when we do this, it is leading to freedom. It is for freedom that Jesus has set us free. That's why we are free. So we need to trust in God. And it's not always easy. But we need to know. We trust in God. We need to trust in His timing. We need to trust in His power. We trust in His authority so that we can receive this freedom that Jesus purchased for us 2,000 years on that cross. You know, Paul then asks this question. How will you live your freedom in Christ? And I'm asking us today, how are you and I living this freedom? It's a very important question. And Paul begins by saying, you know, in freedom, don't live the lie. We can be in this freedom and we can be living a lie, right? That means that we can actually be Christians, the way we conduct ourselves, the things that we actually do. But you know what? There can be some hypocrisy in all of that. Of course, not none of us here. All those other guys in all those other churches, you guys, you know. But again, I'm just telling us what the Word says, just in case, you know, maybe by default, some of us, you know, this will apply to us. Now listen to what he says in Galatians 5 verse 6. He says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. So he's saying to them, listen, whether you're circumcised or you're not circumcised, it means zilch. Okay? Means nothing. Makes absolutely no difference. But he says then, but only faith working through love. And this is how we need to be operating. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Rhema word of God. Through faith and through love. You know, if ever we try to define God, it would be that God is love. Folks, we need to kind of demonstrate not only our faith, but we need to start to demonstrate this love that He has placed on the inside of us. Let me continue verse 7. He says, you were running well, you Galatians. When I was there, you guys were doing so, you know, thumbs up. You were really running well. Then he says, who hindered you from obeying the truth? So I've moved on. Who is it that has come in there and is now giving you some other stuff that I didn't teach you? This persuasion is not from Him. It's not from Jesus who calls you. Then he goes on and he says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And we know that, eh? A little leaven. It's like you've got that, you know, there's a few things. It talks about the fly in the ointment. You've got the beautiful ointment, might be, and you go and get a dirty fly in there. It contaminates the whole thing. And it's like when we make bread, well, we don't make bread. When Krisha makes bread, in fact, that's also not too often. You know, you put a little bit of yeast in there. Is that true? And it's the same thing. It says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. You put a little bit of yeast in there. Here's the chef, she knows. And what happens? The whole loaf rises. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Folks, I want to say a little bit of false teaching. A little bit of false teaching, you know, that we start to grab hold of does exactly the same thing. We have to be very, very careful about what we listen to and who we listen to. And just because it's on Facebook doesn't mean these people know what they're talking about. Seriously, I've seen stuff on there, you know, you read this stuff and say, what planet have these people come from? Where is this in the Bible? And just because it's on YouTube, some guy's got some revelation. We need to know the Word of God so that we'll not be hoodwinked by all these people out there. I'm just saying. Right, so a little leaven. Leaven's a whole lump. Verse 10, he says, I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view than mine. In other words, when I was with you, God told you the truth. I have confidence that you will stick to that. And the one who is troubling you. So that means somebody, to these Galatians, has got in there and is troubling them. The one who is troubling you, that is the false teacher, will bear the penalty, whoever he is. Verse 11, but if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? Because some of them were obviously saying, hey, listen, Paul preaches grace plus, you know, circumcision. He says, listen, if I was preaching that, you know, why am I being persecuted? Because then I wouldn't be persecuted. Now listen to this, what he says. I mean, for me, it's, you can see he's got a sense of humor, or he was very, very angry. In verse 11, he continues, he says, in that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. Okay, now he says, I wish those who unsettle you, I wish those false teachers, those people that are coming in there and saying it's the grace of God plus circumcision, he's talking specifically about that, those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. So he's saying, basically, hey, those guys that are coming in there, that are telling you, you know, to circumcise yourself, I wish that while they are telling you that, that the knife that they are using kind of slips a little bit and they castrate themselves. And you go and have a look in other translations that talks about castrating yourself. All right? So he was really bent out of shape when it came to this thing. He's saying, you know, they're talking about circumcision, but anyway, that's what he said, what he would like to happen to them. Have a look in your translation. What does yours say? I think emasculate themselves is probably a nice, gentle word. So basically, Paul is saying to them, you know, you start out by following the truth that, you know, all you do is by grace, and it's by the grace of God, and now you are living the lie, Paul says to them. You are living the lie, following these rules and these regulations. Why are you doing it? So that you become holy. They think by following these rules and regulations that it will make them holy. Folks, doesn't. All right? He's saying to them, don't live the lie. Don't believe the lie. Don't believe them. So basically, the Galatians needed a wake-up call. And I suppose in Afrikaans, there's a nice Afrikaans word for that. Am I allowed to say it here? I'll say it English. Snod clap. All right. Is that, did that come over gently enough? Huh? Yeah. These Galatians needed a snot clap. That's what it was. You got it? Okay. And sometimes we actually need a wake-up call as well. A bit of a... All right. So the question then is, are you doing it in your own strength? I'm talking to us today. To earn God's applause. Are we? Right? Paul reminds them not to indulge the sinful nature. Because if we indulge the sinful nature, it will lead us back into bondage. And it will lead us not only back into bondage, but it will lead us back into a place where there will be a rejection of the grace of God. Right? And there were people actually saying, well, you know what? I've received God's grace. You know, it's by God's grace, brother. You've heard some of them. Hey, man, I'm under the grace of God. Hey, so why aren't you in church? No, I'm under grace, but I'm under grace. I'm playing tennis. Okay? Playing golf. I'm under grace. Right? God's grace. We have to be very, very careful that we don't abuse the grace of God. Listen to this. Okay? In Jude 1 verse 4, when we start to abuse God's grace, and why I'm saying that, because a lot of these people, it's the grace of God, they start to use it and say, I'm under God's grace for sensual things. You know, in other words, anything goes now, because I am now under the grace of God. And Jude addresses it in chapter 1 verse 4. He says, for certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation. He says, ungodly people, watch here, who perverted the grace of our God into sensuality. Right? And this is the big thing. Often Christians, anything goes, you know, I can do whatever I want to because I'm under grace, into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. So, folks, we mustn't deny Christ by living the lie. This is what we're saying right now. And how do you deny Christ? By living the lie. You deny Him by living the lie, firstly, by following rules and regulations and putting ourselves back under the law and all the legalism. That's one way of actually denying Him. Another one is denying Him by licentious living. Okay, and this is what he gets into right now. Right? So instead, we should live, you know, out this love of ours in this freedom that He has purchased for us. In verse 13, he says, for you were called to freedom. And he's saying to us today, you are called, we are called to freedom, brothers. Galatians 5:13. The other one was Jude, yes. 4:1-4. That one. I mean 4:1. 4 verse. But anyway. Yeah, but it's one chapter, but it's verse 4. Okay. All right. Where was I? Before my wife. Thank goodness for wives, eh? These curveballs. All right. I'll say, yo, we mustn't live the lie. And I wanted to read Galatians 5:13. Listen here, he says, for you are called to freedom, brothers. We are called to freedom. Only do not use your freedom, this freedom that we have, as an opportunity for the flesh. Right? As an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. And here it is. This is the whole law. He says, here it is. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Folks, you take the Ten Commandments. If you love your neighbor as yourself, you are not going to murder, you're not going to commit adultery, you're not going to steal, you're not going to, you can go through all of those things. Sorry? I missed that again. Buy, that's it. Yeah, buy him a lawnmower. There we go. You were telling us about a story during the course of the week. But folks, all of those things are covered. And it's easy. You know, he's taken all these laws and he's put something on the inside of us. And that is that we just have to love people. And love them in the with our heart. Okay, and we demonstrate that love towards them. So when we are not living in this, you know, this grace, you can't love them as he wants us to love them. It's impossible, right? And what actually happens is that when we're not loving like that, we start to move away. When we start to kind of get into things that we shouldn't be getting into, I'm talking about as Christians, and we start to move away. And as we start to move away and we're not demonstrating the love, you know, it kind of leads to sometimes a bit of bitterness in our heart. And again, the question is, are we living the lie or are we living in love? And living the lie, listen here, looks for fulfillment in the flesh. I'll say it again. When we live the lie, it looks for fulfillment in the flesh. Okay, Dave, I see where this is going. I don't want to hear this. Of course you do. Right. And now we see what Paul has to say to the Galatians from verse 16. He says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So if we are truly those that are walking by the Spirit, right? Remember I said this battle on the inside of us, it's the flesh and the spirit. If we are walking by the Spirit, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And it's interesting to see that the flesh has desires. How many of you have noticed that your flesh has desires? The two of us. Oh, three. How many of you notice that your flesh has desires? Folks, we need to be honest here. Paul has been honest. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. The desires that we have of the flesh are against the Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, he says, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, and we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us because we are born again. The Bible says that when we get born again, God's Spirit lives on the inside of us. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Okay. What are the works of the flesh? Right. Here we're going to get it. This is what he tells us, that as a Christian, these things shouldn't be us. He says the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry. I'll discuss some of these. These are works of the flesh. Sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the things like these. He says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. He is talking about, in this context, he's talking about unsaved people. But folks, these are the things that should not be evident with us as well. Okay. But straight after that, now he gets into the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit, this is now how you and I should be representing ourselves and the Lord. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. Right? Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Gentleness, self-control, against such things there is no law. These are the marks of a Christian. This is what your office friend should see in you and me. I'm not going to spend time today talking about the fruits of the Spirit, okay? Because I actually shared a whole morning on it. It was the last week of May. So if you want to know, because it's part of Galatians, but if you want to go there, just go onto our website and you can listen to that message on the fruits of the Spirit. Then he says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. So these things that are starting to manifest, if we belong to Jesus, they have been crucified. We have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. We are living by the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, we're walking by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So what he's saying here, it's things like sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery. These are the sensual sins that he's speaking about right here. Sexual immorality talks about adultery and fornication. And a lot of people don't know the difference. So the difference is, right, for those of us that don't know, adultery is when people, one of the parties are married, right, and you commit adultery. So it's a sexual act with somebody else, but one of the parties or both parties are married. Whereas fornication, the same thing, but the people are unmarried. That's the difference. All right, so we then, you know, these things, when the flesh starts to tug at us and pull us, you know, we start to realize or we start to think that these things will actually bring fulfillment. But folks, they don't. You know, I was listening to somebody speaking about drugs where, you know, somebody goes out, you take drug for the first time. And I didn't know this was the case. It's what, chasing the dragon. I mean, I'd never heard of that. I mean, I've heard the term. I didn't know what it was. But you take the first time you take drugs, you know, you take it on a big high and it might be one tablet. Now you want to experience that same thing again, and this is now chasing the dragon. So you take another one, but that high is nowhere near it. All right? So now you take two. And this is how people actually get hooked on drugs and so on. But these things, they start to lead to other sins. And this is what I want to speak about, because now these are the other ones where we're talking about the work of the flesh. I'm nearly done. Okay. But listen. You know I'm nearly done. So this is what he says are the works of the flesh. Idolatry. Now, idolatry is when we put things, whether it is things or it is people, ahead of God. So anything in your life that is more important to you than God, that is an idol in your life. And let me tell you something. You go back to the Old Testament and you can see one of the things that God detests most of all is idols, idolatry. And we have to be very, very careful, folks, because it's not just things. It's not just your shiny new car or your big house or, you know, those sort of things. It can be people as well. Sometimes people put their kids in a position where their kids are more important to them and God. And that means the kids become idols. Be very, very careful of this. God doesn't want anything to be above Him. Because if our kids are more important to God, that means in our life, that means that they become idols in our lives. Right. I'm just saying, because I've seen it. Then he talks about witchcraft. And what is witchcraft? It's dabbling in a cult, and it's a spiritual territory of demons and evil spirits. You have Christ in you, and you have authority over those things. And it's about time the church rose up and started to use the authority, casting out demons. Right? This is what the Word tells us. Another work of the flesh is hatred. If you experience that, that is a work of the flesh. Discord. There's another one he mentions here, which is a lack of harmony, where there's no harmony. Jealousy. Big one. Even with believers. Jealousy. Work of the flesh. Selfish ambition. Now, I want to talk about this because there's nothing wrong with ambition. God has placed something on the inside of us, you know, to go out and to do well and succeed and so on. But selfish ambitions, it will be you or I doing things where it is just for me, okay? And regardless of the consequences and the results and how it impacts on the lives of other people as well. So that is selfish ambition. But ambition, as I say, the Lord has put those things on the inside of us. But we need to handle ambition well. And I believe that as we handle ambition well, that He will bless us. Then He speaks about the works of the flesh. He says, dissensions. You've seen it in the workplace. We've seen it in the church. Dissensions among people where a divisive spirit is there. There's nothing worse in the church than having a divisive spirit. Starting separations. And we see it in the workplace as well. He also mentions as a work of the flesh, factions. And what is a faction? It's different cliques, you know, groups of people coming against each other, and sometimes in corporate business or business, then coming against, you know, the authorities and so on. We see envy as a work of the flesh. Drunkenness is a work of the flesh. Orgies, okay, unrestrained indulgence in sensual pleasure. That's what it is. That's what it means. So when we live the lie and we are not following Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, folks, we start to seek fulfillment in different things. These are the things. We need to know this. This is, God's not happy with that. Okay. So these are the lifestyle of you, these things that I've mentioned, I'm saying they are the lifestyle of most people that are not born again. Right? Is that true? You see them, right? And if one of us, you know, I mean, if we have, you know, kind of dabbled in some of these or been exposed to some of these things and we've sinned, it doesn't mean that we're not going to heaven. It doesn't mean that at all. He is talking about here, if you go and look it up, he's talking about where people, this is their lifestyle. Their lifestyle. And someone is someone who has absolutely no conviction that this lifestyle is wrong. And I trust as believers that, you know, If we've missed the mark, there should be a conviction on the inside of us that it's wrong, and we fix it. And we run to Him with open arms, okay, not running away from Him. So Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 13:5, as I'm about to finish again, examine yourselves, he says, to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, he says. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? So when we turn to Him, we will experience the fruit of the Spirit operating in our lives. And folks, I want to say too about fruit. You don't go and plant a pip and you got a fruit tomorrow. Fruit is a journey with all of us. Okay, it's a journey. But we must make sure that we are cultivating good fruit. Verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And I want to say that that is an ongoing battle for all of us. All of us, right? If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So when we love, and I'm just going to mention the fruits of the Spirit, okay? We love, and we start to demonstrate that love. It is a fruit of the Spirit. God is love, as I said earlier on. And we are made in His image, and we need to demonstrate that love. We will experience joy, the Bible says. And the Bible talks about joy, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. The next one is peace. You will experience peace that passes all understanding. It talks about patience being a fruit of the Spirit, right? And if we are patient, there should not be anxiety, there should not be worry and all of these things. Kindness and goodness. Basically, those two, that is love in action, when we are kind and we're good. And we grow in faith. Self-controlled. Right. But it's the fruit of the Spirit. So, these are the outworkings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. These are the marks of freedom. Freedom. When these things are in our lives, we are demonstrating the freedom that Jesus purchased for us. So, folks, we need to receive this freedom. We need to live in this freedom. We need to celebrate this freedom. And we need to either choose it or reject it. It's as simple as that. Let's choose freedom. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we say thank you for your word. That we can just sit around your word and be exposed to your word, and that you strengthen us with your word. Thank you, Lord. Just with our heads bowed now, is there anybody here that you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You know, this is all foreign to you.